I'm Jody Weitz, results and success coach, and these podcasts teach you how to make significant changes to live your dreams, make a positive impact on the world, and drop your regrets. It's time for you to get spectacular. Welcome back to Your Spectacular Life. I'm Jody Weitz, your professional coach, making sure that your life and everything in it is no less than spectacular. I'm here with Nicole Daher. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Jody. Thank you for having me today. I'm so excited to talk with you.
Oh, me too. I love the energy already. Well, let me tell you something about Nicole. Autism mom Nicole Daher became frustrated when her daughter aged out of her ABA program. She desired a place that would accept children of any age, of any ability, and a center that would provide transparency to parents. In 2015, Nicole founded Success on the Spectrum, a complete autism treatment center that provides ABA therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy to children with autism up to 18 years old. SOS proudly showcases parent viewing rooms where live video surveillance demonstrates assurance and accountability. In 2018, Nicole founded SOS Franchising, making SOS the first autism treatment franchise in the U.S. This model balances profitability with purpose. As a franchise, SOS can grow faster and provide more access to care in an industry with severe unmet demand. Today, Nicole Daher continues to inspire entrepreneurs and activists alike. Wow, bravo. I am so glad you're in the world helping this unmet community of autism, because I know it's a real challenge.
It is. The rate of children being diagnosed with autism is just skyrocketing year after year. The CDC releases new reports all the time that just is blowing the year before out of the water. And it's difficult because while more kids are being diagnosed, the number of facilities that treat autism is not keeping pace. Yeah. And so it creates this huge demand and long waiting lists, and so many children have no access to the therapy that they need.
Yeah. And, you know, you also offer many things, all the therapies, and I'm going to read that again. You know, ABA, which is Applied Behavioral Analysis Services, occupational, speech, all at one center, all accessible to, you know, everyone who's in there, plus parents who get to see what you do. And it's almost like a well-rounded program so they can make their way out in the world to do what they're passionate about.
I really wanted to design the one-stop shop because life is crazy enough without having to do appointments over here and appointments over there and running around in the minivan all day long, different parts of the city. And I don't know if you know this, Jody, I'm from Houston, and Houston is approximately 1 hour away from Houston. And so if you have to travel anywhere, it's just a problem. So having everything in one place makes the kids' life easier, makes the parents' life easier. And if they can get everything that they need in one place that is familiar to them, it just rolls in a little bit easier.
Yeah, and plus the same educators, teachers, therapists know what's going on and what the best pathway is for that child or young adult. And, you know, you all can get together and discuss cases and really figure out the best way to serve them.
The coordination of care is quite amazing, and it makes our lives as providers a little bit easier when there's good communication amongst all of the different therapists that a child needs.
Yeah. So, I'm curious. You have a daughter who's autistic, and what were some of your own challenges before you had something like SOS, that you could depend on or rely on?
Well, I'm stepmom for one, and so I
Okay.
was kind of thrown into this
Mm.
midstream. So I had never had a child of my own. I had never had any experience with children with autism, especially. And so I had to learn a lot really fast to do a good job as her primary caregiver. And when I met her father and when we got married, she was already attending an ABA therapy center that was wonderful. And they taught her to talk and make eye contact. And she made her first friend. She learned how to play cooperatively. She learned how to potty by herself and how to write her name. It was so wonderful how they worked with her in a way that was so much higher level than any school could have provided, especially the Texas public school system. God bless Texas. It was so great. The problem that I had, the challenge that we faced, was that when she turned 7, she was graduated,
Oh my,
aged out.
that young?
And it was too early. She wasn't ready. And you don't grow out of autism. How ridiculous is it that you can grow out of the treatment for it? So it was mind-blowing to me. But I was, rebellious and resentful of them. I'm like, whatever, fine, I'll just find another place for her, right? And I searched and searched and searched. And so few places take children over the age of 7. And even the ones that do have the wait lists, the year-long wait list. And you're like, this is precious time. What are we going to do until then? We're going to lose all the progress that we've made, lose all the support that we've grown to depend on. And it was not acceptable for me. So really, I founded this whole company just for my daughter, just for what she needed, and it just exploded in growth after that.
Well, that is, an amazing story that you just didn't sit back and hang out on the waiting list and hope
No.
for the best, certainly, and that you just jumped in. Tell me about the progression pre-SOS and then again age. So, I'm apparently, I'm figuring at age 7, they still have the continuation of learning, and that goes to what age?
It's different for every kid, but autism doesn't go away. And so you need some sort of support always. I think that it's very easy for companies to accept children under 7 because they're small and they're cute and they're physically manageable. And then after they turn 7, you run into the boys are getting really hyper and really large. A 7-year-old's bite is a heck of a lot, does a lot more damage than like a 2-year-old's bite. And then, of course, now that they're school age, they go, oh, just you're the school district's problem now.
And
And
so
so,
people who don't have a lot of experience dealing with autism, they're just thrown in with everybody else and probably bullied and made fun of.
absolutely. And the school system, they try. They really do try to accommodate the kids with special needs. But these teachers are understaffed. They're undertrained for special needs specifically. And of course, there's just not enough of them. There's not enough funding. And they, God help them, they do their best. And I know a lot of teachers that really want to make a difference in a child's life. But when you have 20 in a classroom, you can't stop to cater to just one. And that's where ABA excels. It's always one-on-one. That's what makes it so effective.
I didn't know that. That's great. So you have a ABA therapist working one-on-one with that student,
Absolutely,
and
all the time.
they understand it, because autism, Again, it's called a spectrum, on the spectrum, because there are so many different represented, symptoms and how different kids and different learnings and maturity levels. So that's great. I did not know that.
It's a really special thing to be one-on-one because a child with autism, depending on which part of the brain is affected by the autism, their symptoms can be totally different from one kid to the other. My daughter, when she was in second grade or 7 years old, she was reading at a ninth grade level. And so she was
Goodness.
so intelligent and she had the vocabulary of a 40-year-old adult and could, she loved to banter politics. It was very strange. She was good at it too. I'm telling you, she could be a commentator, but she couldn't stand to lose a game. So we couldn't even play bingo with her because if she lost, she couldn't handle it emotionally. That maturity wasn't there in that part of her life, that part of her brain. And she would throw wild tantrums and would accuse everyone else of cheating and
Oh,
would think the
goodness,
game
yeah.
was rigged against her. So, and these coping mechanisms you
Yeah.
need to form relationships, to have jobs, to be successful in school. And if that's what ABA teaches, it fills in those gaps for whatever that particular kid needs. And every kid needs something different.
Yeah, and again, it's nice that the therapists work with them and understand what's going on and what they really need. It's not a cookie cutter approach that may not work at all. So when you started SOS again for your daughter, did you have any business experience? Did you have, I know she's, Nicola's laughing for those who can't see her. She, did you
No.
know therapist? I mean, how did
No.
you even start this business, which seems extremely daunting?
It was incredible that I, incredibly lucky, I suppose, that I found the right people to help me because I had no experience in any of this. I Googled everything. I read books on everything,
Good.
but I hired a very good behavior analyst with years of experience. And what I loved about her particular experience, a lot, most BCBAs or behavior analysts that are in the field only work with small children because, again, all of these clinics usually only have children under seven. But this woman had worked with adults. And she had this concept, this perspective of, oh, if they had only taught this man this thing when he was little, then he would be able to have a job and do this. But she knew what translated across the years to be very important. And for example, my child's ABA center spent almost an entire year frustratingly trying to teach her how to tie shoes. And eventually I got to the point where I'm saying, why are we working so much hard, so hard and wasting so much time? We could
There's
buy
a
her slip-ons her whole life and she'll
exactly
be just fine.
there's a whole thing called Velcro
Yes.
that are on shoes.
So what is important and what is the best thing that we need to be spending our time and efforts on? And Kendra, my first behavior analyst, was really good at picking out, okay, this is what's important. Let's go after this first. Everything else can fall on the wayside. And so having someone so experienced and making our work so meaningful, she helped me build the clinical side of things because that was what I didn't know. And I stuck to what I was good at, which was the administrative things and the payroll and the software and all the things that go along on that side. And together, we made a pretty good team.
That is fabulous. So you understood, hey, my weakness or my lack of understanding is clinical. I don't know how to work with them. I can play, I can smile, I can be their buddies, but I don't know how to make them progress along a certain, teaching guideline, and then you took over the business side.
Exactly right.
Great, that's wonderful. And risky. Bravo again for just jumping in with that because you had your daughter's need, but then could see that this may be needed by others. And I agree with you. I think more kids and adults are being diagnosed with autism
That's
every year
exactly.
that goes by.
I opened the very first center in 2015. And while it was really only supposed to be a little side hobby thing for my daughter, when I put online, hey, Facebook, hey, I'm starting this clinic and we're really going to accept kids of all ages. Does somebody else want to come in and help me pay for the salary of this analyst? I got an overwhelming response. And I opened the first office, and we had about 30 kids before we got so full. I had to say,
Goodness.
yeah, then we had the waiting list. And I was the person on the
Yeah.
phone turning parents away, and I felt terrible. So I opened the second one across town and I said, now that'll do it, right? Surely that should be enough, right? No, that one got full in 9 months.
Oh my
And so
word.
it became this idea in my head where I can't, there's not enough of me to go around. I can't do this by myself.
Right,
And so
right.
the franchising of the business is what really helped our reach go further to make care more accessible because I can only open so many a year. I only have so much money. I only have so much time.
Yeah.
But by teaching other entrepreneurs how to do what I did and just rinse and repeat, we now have 78 open
Oh,
locations across 20 states.
wow. Wow, that's amazing. And that's 10 years from the first opening. That's amazing with 78 of these locations.
It's been
And
a
I
wild
just,
decade.
what's that?
It's been a wild decade.
Oh, I've had a lot of learning but if you can teach the same things and primarily hire the right behavioral analysts, that makes the biggest difference, which is great. It's so interesting that you saw this need for yourself, and then within opening the first one, it's already filled. 9 months, the second one is already filled. Did you question yourself, like, wow, I wonder if we're even gonna make it on this first one, and whether we're even gonna have anybody else?
I questioned myself constantly. I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know anything about this. But what really got me was the franchising of the business because no one else was doing it. 80% of all ABA therapy centers are owned by private equity groups, big conglomerates, big faceless companies with big de marketing departments and things behind them. And the rest were just mom and pops. There was no franchise in existence. And I thought, I'm either a genius or I'm stupid, and everybody else knows something that I don't. And that's why no one's done it before.
No
And
one's
it was
tried that.
terrifying to, I'm going to have to find out the hard way. It's just jump in and see if it works. But it really works. And now other franchises are starting to follow suit, which honestly, I love. There's plenty of room for all of us to exist in the same industry. There's way too many kids for even me to handle. But what I hope is that my company kind of sets the bar for quality. Being an autism mom, that was, I wanted not to focus on profits. I wanted to focus on how can we do this well and make money on the side, but prioritize the quality of things. So I'm hoping that our standard sets parents' expectations. And that other companies have to compete with the product that we've accomplished.
Great. What is it that you love about the franchising, and what do you find is most challenging?
Well, the thing I love the most was how my mission shifted. and how much reward I got from all of it, because it started off, I want to help my daughter, and it was a very almost selfish thing. And then it changed to now I can help other kids too. And I got just as much satisfaction helping other kids as I did helping my own child. And it was fantastic to kind of relive those milestones, the first words and all that through these other children. And when the franchise happened, my mission changed to now I'm helping entrepreneurs start their first business, secure financial future for themselves, and they can help the kids. And watching them experience the kids' milestones or making their first dollar or, owning a building for the first time and being able to expand their own business model, that's pretty satisfying too.
Absolutely.
But there were moments of doubt, to your point. When COVID happened, which was unexpected, nobody saw that coming. And I thought, oh no, did I bring all of these franchisees to their financial ruin? Like, what did I do? But turns out in the medical field, you're basically recession-proof. We're an
You're
essentially
needed,
health, yes,
right?
you
You're
it doesn't
essential.
stop. You always need it. We're essential healthcare, so we were able to stay open even through lockdown. We didn't have to depend on disposable income from mom and dad like a daycare would. You wouldn't have the money if you lost your job, and a lot of people did. But insurance pays us to do this service. And so Medicaid kept paying whether mom or dad had a job or not. And the kids got what they needed without the financial burden on the mamas and the daddies. And it really strengthened our character as a company, knowing that we could survive these economic downturns.
Great. And the benefit to the kids and adults who could still be part of the centers and their own learning and socialization. I mean, they almost had it better than a lot of students who had to be on Zoom
Yes.
and didn't, couldn't really interact and challenging. So thank goodness that you guys stayed open during those times as an essential business.
Yeah, we had a great experience where a lot of people didn't, but it was such a blessing both to us and to the kids to have that stability.
So at the centers, I know every kid is different, but what is the overarching goal for somebody who comes on, perhaps they're somewhat high functioning? What is the goal for that child or adult?
That's a fantastic question that not a lot of people ask, and I love it so much.
Thank you.
So, if we get a child when they're young, our main goal is to get them to a level of functioning and social skills that they can be merged in a normal, typical classroom. We give them the skills they need, and a lot of it is communication skills. If they're not verbal, we teach them to type, and then they can communicate with people that way. And we teach them how to interact with their same age peers, how to play and how to learn, how to accept that knowledge. The American classroom wants you to sit in a desk for 8 hours a day and listen to the talking person. That's difficult for a lot of neurotypical kids. So
Well, that's
me,
difficult
too.
for any kid
It is difficult for me,
who's
too.
I know I'm very kinetic and it's very difficult.
So we help them learn how to learn. And those social skills and those communication skills are the main bulk of it. For an older child that maybe is not as high functioning, that may not have the ability to ever speak, or may not have the ability to ever merge into a typical classroom, we kind of stop worrying about getting them into school. And we start worrying about getting them into the workforce. Because what we want to do, and as a mama, you fear who's going to take care of my kid when they're gone, when I'm gone. We don't want them to be in a nursing home or assisted living their whole lives. We want them to get a job, any sort of job, bagging groceries, taping boxes, wrapping hamburgers, whatever it is. Let me give you the social skills that you need to communicate with your boss, maybe even to get married one day. But mostly, how can we get you into a place where you can live on your own, where you go to the doctor and you know how to ask a doctor for help when you're feeling sick, how you know how to cook for yourself, you know just enough about money to pay the rent and not make any crazy mistakes or sign any
Right.
crazy mortgages. And so, again, each kid that main goal is going to be different and it's going to be taught in a different way. But in the end, we want them in society, all of
Yeah.
them, whether that means it's in school or just in the workforce. We want them to be productive, be proud of themselves, and to have a happy, fulfilled life, whatever that looks like for them.
Great. Yeah, I'm hearing wherever they are, you're working to teach them independence.
Yes.
And we all need help, so we're not going to be, all of us are not 100% independent, but at least to live the life that they want to lead without help and having pride in themselves that, hey, I can do this, I can work this job and I can pick up groceries and pay the rent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that what a wonderful goal. Now, are there a lot of housing that is available? Like it's not assisted. I know you're shaking your
Yeah.
head or not, or that is provided for somebody who may be high functioning on the spectrum, but maybe needs a room within a house or a
Maybe
housing
that'll be
complex.
my next adventure because I mean, right now we're working on getting kids over 7 the help that they need. Over 18, there's virtually nothing, just nothing. And the funding isn't there. We need some politicians to actually care about this stuff before change happens. But as of right now, there's really nothing for them.
Goodness, you mean housing wise, job wise, or
Both.
oh no, boy, that's disheartening. Yeah, Nicole, go for it.
One
We need
problem at a
you.
time,
We're
Jody.
right, I know. But even satisfying work or work that they see gets done would be really great. Well, what are you thinking about as your next step that you see need for? I know these things, the housing and the work, that may be a long-term project. What about short term? What about in the new year?
We are really working on beefing up our life skills rooms, which is a dedicated space inside of our centers that help kids practice doing independent things within the confines of a controlled environment. So we have little fake grocery stores inside of our
Great.
centers where we have a shopping cart and Monopoly money and all the fake food so they can practice doing those skills without having the distractions of other people wandering around or judging them. Because again, practice makes perfect, and the first 100 times they do it may not be acceptable in socially in public. And we don't want them to be bullied or teased or have the police called on them, goodness. So we make little fake bedrooms so they can make their beds. We have washers and dryers that we're teaching them to, do their own laundry, hanging things up to dry. And it's a process. And for each kid, they need something different. And we can start that skill building as early as 3 years old. We can
Oh,
play
goodness.
kitchen. We can play with dolls. We can do all those things very young. So it generalizes into, mainstream public areas.
How fun. And I mean, and again, the progress that they make, they can see, they get rewarded, and it just, they want to learn more and grow more,
That's the hope.
which is great. Yeah. What about those life skills on the challenging side? What if they get triggered and they do go into a meltdown? How do you handle those types of life skills?
That is exactly why we do our life skills within the confines of the center first, because we do intentionally set up situations where they experience the unexpected to practice their reactions. And so if they have certain number of items on their shopping list and we only give them enough Monopoly money to buy three of the things instead of the four, it could potentially cause a meltdown or a tantrum or a trigger for them. And when that happens, that's the best time to practice our calming strategies, self-calming strategies. And practicing that over and over and over and over again, where sometimes things go the way you expect and some things they don't. And if it doesn't, we pivot and we can change our plan. And that's hard for people who want the routine, who struggle with transition. They struggle with that. And so it's good to practice it in that controlled and accepting environment first. And then eventually we do field trips and we take them out into the real
Oh,
world to
great.
practice it in a real grocery store or the zoo or a hamburger joint where they can order their own food. And that's actually a lot of fun to do with them.
I bet. And I bet they're excited to, okay, we're going out in the real world now. I mean, not that they haven't been out, but it's up to them to make that transaction happen. Wow, that's great. And I love the calming strategies. I'm thinking that if they get taught those as early as three, as you've mentioned, that is something they can work on their whole life.
Yes. And honestly, there are so many things as an adult that you did learn as a child. And if it takes me, 5 years to learn a new language, it's going to take these kids time to learn a new skill as well. Although they usually pick it up a lot faster than we do as adults. Little sponges they
They're
are.
smart.
But it what we want, what the parents want, we want independence for them and we want them to face the world and still come out the other side in one piece.
And we're all working on, I mean, I think behavior and calming strategies and really changing and repatterning our reaction, our brain, it takes a long time for everyone to do that. So, yeah, and it's great. It sounds like you've got practical skills with get emotional handling skills, so they're well-rounded.
That's the goal. I mean, I know so many adults that don't have self-control nowadays. So teaching the kids at a young age is just so beneficial for all kinds of things.
Well, Nicole, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, what is the best way to do that?
If you are a parent of a child with autism looking for services, you can certainly visit our website, successonthespectrum.com, and hopefully find a location near you. If there is no location near you and you'd like to make one of your own, you can visit sosfranchising.com, where our sales team will meet with you, discuss with you what it takes to open your own clinic. We will train you, we will assist you, we will support you every bit of the way so you don't have to Google everything like I did. You can have someone with the answers right at your beck and call. And all together, as a family, we can make a difference in the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. Nicole, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for offering these services to people who really need it and are at their wits' end, or just looking for a very fulfilling and rewarding business to run.
Absolutely.
I love how you're offering both of those.
Thank you. So many people think that if you are philanthropic, that it has to be a charity, that it has to be a nonprofit. But we do have profit with a purpose. Oh, my little peas.
I like it. These alliterations with the O in the middle, or whatever letter in the middle. That's great. Well, again, Nicole, I wish you the best of luck, and thank you for your story and your success with your story.
Thank you for your time. And to everyone listening, Jody does such a wonderful job of bringing this information to us and brings stories that touches our hearts. Whatever listening platform you're on now, please leave her a 5-star review. She deserves it.
Wow, I think I'm gonna hire you as my marketing manager.
Earned it. You deserve it. You really do.
Thank you. All right, you have a great day, and thank you again.
Thank you. Have a good day.
I'm so grateful that you've listened to the end of this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review it, and share it with your friends. I love teaching insights so that you can have a more impactful and meaningful life. It's my mission to build a thriving community of happy, fulfilled people. Want more? Visit my website at yourspectacularlife.com.